Let's open our Bibles to Philippians chapter 3 again, and let me take just a moment and read verse 10 to 13 this time together. Verse 10 to 13. It says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after. That's the progress. I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. Title of our thoughts together this session will be simply this: What Happens When God Forgives? Let's bow together in prayer. Dear precious Lord, we are truly blessed and we are truly thankful for the many blessings which we certainly do not deserve, but you pour out in such an abundance upon us. Dear Lord, today we thank you for this ministry, for this church. We thank you for the dear pastor and his wife and their family. Lord, we thank you for the church family here and all the work that they have put into hosting this conference. Bless them in a special way for that, we pray, even in the days and months to come. Lord, thank you for your word, and we thank you, Lord, for what has been shared with us today. Lord, we thank you so much that you are in control. We thank you, dear God, that you have a plan, you have a purpose. Lord, from eternity past to eternity future, and Lord, we thank you for the way that has been laid out for us in Pastor Matt's sessions with us. And help us to rejoice, dear God, over that. Help us to realize, Lord, that that's what really gives meaning to these thoughts that we're sharing in these sessions together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I don't know whether you've thought of it, but I have, as Brother Matt has been speaking with us, that in reality, and you know, because I didn't really know what he was going to speak on. He didn't know what I was going to speak on. Matter of fact, when we were together one of the previous times, and we were both aware that we had this invitation, I looked at him and he looked at me, and I said, "Well, what are you going to speak on?" He said, "Well, what are you going to speak on?" And so I said, "Well, we determined then, obviously, to just let the Lord kind of lead us and guide us." And I'm just amazed how that in reality, isn't it so true that what he's sharing of the kingdom gives us an eternal view, eternity past, eternity future, of God's plan. And God is in control. And are you thankful for that? I'm so thankful for that. I'm thankful that we never, never have to worry about seeing God standing around wringing his hands. You know, God just doesn't know what that's all about, standing around wringing his hands, wondering what I'm going to do. God is in control. Our God is sovereign. He is sovereign. And that's what gives meaning, really, to our daily walk with the Lord. If it were not for that, why would we want to waste time in church? Really. When you stop and think of it, if it were not for these wonderful truths, why would we want to worry about progressing in our Christian life? Why would we not just say, let's just get the best of this world that we can and live it up, and because that's it, you know. But we know that that's not the way that it is. And so that behooves us, does it not, every day to live for the Lord, to progress with God, walk in faith and walk with the Lord. And so I want to share with you on this little phrase here, forgetting those things which are behind. We started by saying, I think that we covered that subject pretty well this morning, the things that we needed to say about it. This matter of our priority being progress. And so we need to be sure that we have progress in our Christian life, that we're growing, that we're moving ahead, that we're not drifting, that we're not stagnating in our Christian walk. And it could be that some of us here really need to understand that. And because I don't know where all of you are at in your Christian life, but we need just to be honest with God and honest with ourselves. In this session, our past is irreversible. That's the main point there in your outline. If you've got one of the little outlines there to fill in, our past is irreversible. so we can just forget it. That's what I want to emphasize in this session together. Now, and that's what he says, isn't it, in verse 13. Brethren, I count on myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. As I work with people in my church family, and I'm sure it's the same wherever we go, that we find that believers really get greatly hindered in their walk with God, in their what could be great ministries for the Lord in the local body of believers, because then they have failed to understand that wonderful biblical principle that is just saturated with the very grace of God, that our past has been forgiven. And when we confess our sins and when we make things right with the Lord and with others around us, when we are willing to humble ourselves and repent and plead for God's forgiveness in our lives for failures, God can take our lives and put the pieces back together and move us ahead, and we don't need to live in the past. So I would say to us this morning that this may be the most wonderful news that we've ever heard. And I'm sure all of us have heard it many times before, but certainly some of the most wonderful news that we could ever hear. And that is simply this, that if we have repented of our sins, confessed them to the Lord, and received Him as our personal Savior, then our past is forgiven. And we need not, and we must not, we not only need not, we must not allow our past to dominate and to control and even destroy our present and our future. You know, I would be cautious where I gave this illustration, but we're a long ways from my home. And so nobody here will make any connection between anyone. But we have a couple in our church that my wife and I love dearly. They're close to our age. They're probably in their late 50s and maybe early 60s. And we have grown to love them so much. And one of the reasons I think that we've grown to love them is because we've had to spend so much time with them to keep their marriage together. This is her fifth marriage, and he's had several relationships, and so they both bring a lot of luggage, needless to say, into that relationship. But praise the Lord, they've stayed in this relationship now. They came to us already in this relationship and married and so forth, so we've just picked up from there and tried to help them stay together. It has been a struggle sometimes, but one of the reasons is that the husband can't seem to get around the fact that her past is forgiven, and God has forgiven her for her past life and so forth, as if his was any spotless life, you know. But so forgiveness is a tremendous need in our lives, to know that we've been forgiven and be able to recognize that and forgive others. So we must not only need not, but we must not allow our past to dominate and control and even destroy our present and our future. So we need to understand that the first step really in making progress toward becoming Christ-like, which is the ultimate goal, perfection, we need first of all to realize that our past is forgiven. We need to realize our past is forgiven. We will never move on in our walk with the Lord until we realize, and the Apostle Paul says, forgetting those things which are behind. We cannot change it. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we could go back and change it? Just if you could just pick a year and go back and take that one year and change things in that year. But we cannot do that. But we need not, because God has forgiven, and we certainly praise Him for that. I'm reminded of the great Olympic runners, and that they fully realize that both staying ahead and finishing well depend upon their not looking back. Do you ever notice that, these Olympic runners? They mention that every once in a while. That these Olympic runners, they have a goal in mind, and they recognize fully that if they're going to be the victor, if they're going to finish well, they cannot spend their time looking back. Why do we not learn that in the Christian life? I don't know what you have been through, but I just pray, and I thought of this before I came to the pulpit today, as I just thought about sharing with you this message. I just thought, well, I don't know what any of these people have been through, But I would guess that probably many of us have been through really, really times in our lives that have been very difficult to overcome. And I want you to take seriously this message and really glean something that will encourage our hearts, because the devil will constantly try to bring those things up. He'll try constantly to throw those things up in your face and use those to defeat you in the present and for the future. So the child of God then, for the true child of God, focusing on our past sins will only bring present failure. It will only bring present failure. And focusing on our past successes will only bring pride and stagnation. Think on that. It's not good to think of either. Because if we focus on our past sins, it will only bring present failure. If we focus on our past successes, it will only bring pride into our lives. Pride into our lives. You know, let me share this with you. Someone has wisely said that pride is such an awful thing. Pride is the only disease that makes everyone sick but the one that has it. You ever notice that? Isn't that a true statement? Makes everyone sick but the one that has it. Pride is a terrible thing. And so we must not focus on the past successes or our past failures. So Paul is telling us here in this passage of Scripture that the Christian life is not about what we did yesterday. Christian life is not about what we did yesterday, either good or bad. It is about what you are doing today in your Christian life. What are you doing today in your walk with God? That's what the Christian life is about. And this is what Paul is reminding these Philippian believers there. And so we want progress. Now then, what about my past? What about my past? I want to just emphasize what I've been saying by sharing some more thoughts with you about that. What about the awful things that I have done, the awful sins I have committed? How can I just forget it? That's a good question, isn't it? You know, it's easy for me to stand up here behind the pulpit and say, whatever it is in your life, it may be moral sins, it may be sins of whatever kind they might be, whatever category, however severe those sins might have been, whatever they have been. Easy for me to stand up here and just say, look, forget it. Forgetting those things which are behind. But how are we going to do that? How can we do that? Well, you know, I think that I will never be able to forget those things in the past unless I fully understand what happens when God forgives. When I understand what happens when God forgives, I think that's a great part of the secret of me being able to move on with my life and not let the sins of the past tie me bring me to a place of weakness spiritually in my walk with the Lord. So there are several things, seven, that I want to share with you, and I think you have them there in your notes. Seven very unbelievable and wonderful and miraculous things that God does when He forgives. Number one, we'll take these one at a time just kind of quickly, but just to fill in the lines if you desire to do that. Number one, when God forgives, our sins are forever dismissed from judgment. Forever dismissed from judgment, to be judged no more. To be judged no more. Few unconverted people are aware of the awful eternal judgment that awaits them. Few unconverted people are at all aware of the awful judgment that awaits them and the awful wrath of God that is presently directed toward them. You know, the Bible tells us, does it not, in John chapter 3, verse 36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, but he that believeth not the Son hath not life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. The wrath of God abideth on him. Let me share something that happened to me just a few months ago. Back in January, actually, at our church, I decided that, you know, we hear a lot of people talk about heaven and that other place. You know, that's the way people kind of put that sometimes. Oh, there's heaven and then there's that other place. And so I determined before the Lord that, and I had preached on hell before in my ministry over the years many times, but I determined before the Lord that I was going to just spend whatever time I had to spend, however many messages, to adequately cover this whole matter of hell and really rediscover myself, and in some areas discover for the first time what hell really is going to be like. And so I can't remember now how many messages it ended up being, but several messages. And you know, as I progressed in my study on this matter of the wrath of God and eternal judgment, I'm going to confess something to you. And I don't know whether any of these other pastors have ever had this feeling or not, but I'm going to confess to you that I begin to feel, is this really poetic justice? Does the crime really, does the punishment fit the crime? When I began to think and really discover from God's word the awfulness of eternal hell, the torment, the suffering, when the rich man felt that just one drop of water would somehow give him some relief, that his torture and torment was that severe. And it's a place of darkness. It's a place of loneliness. It's a place where of just memories, haunting memories of times when that person could have made a different decision and they didn't make that decision. And as Isaiah says, it's a place where the worm dieth not and the fire is never quenched. And on top of all of that, hell is eternal. It is never going to end. Never going to end. And the more I studied that, the more I began to wonder, well, is this really fair? Is why, you know, and you know what I discovered? When I really seriously was honest about this whole matter, I discovered the reason that we think hell is too great a punishment is because we do not really understand how bad sin really is. That's the reason. And I want to tell you, dear friends, today that if we understood fully what an offense sin is to a holy God, if we fully understood how vile and how rotten and how degenerated we are as human beings, and before we are saved and our sins are forgiven, how far from God we are and how our lives and our sins and our lives have offended a holy God. If we really understood how awful and how black and how vile sin really is to, in the face of a holy God, we would never question eternal judgment. We would probably wonder, why didn't God make it worse? I want to tell you, dear friends, sin is awful. And we do not really fully understand the awfulness of sin. But it's wonderful to know that every born-again Christian, the Bible says to us, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit, in Romans chapter 8 and verse 1. And then again in John chapter 5, verse 24, the Lord Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Is passed from death unto life. Oh, how precious that is, dear friends. So we must understand, first of all, when God forgives, our sins are forever dismissed from judgment, never to be judged again. And then, number two, and you know, something else I've discovered, and I'm sure we all have at some point or other, whenever we're talking about God and how big God is, how great he is, what he does for us, seldom, if ever, can you explain anything in one word, or one sentence, or one phrase. There's very little, if anything, about God that you can explain at all in one word or one phrase. And how gracious God is with us, to over and over again, says things in so many different ways. And I realize that all of these seven things that I want to share with you, you've all read them before in the scripture, but what they really are is God's way of saying the same thing over and over again that just emphasize another little facet of his forgiveness. So first of all, then, as we mentioned, when God forgives, they are forever dismissed from judgment. Number two, when God forgives, our sins are forever put behind God's back to separate us from God no more. They are forever put behind God's back to separate us from God no more. When we read in Isaiah chapter 59, verse 1 and 2, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you. That's a powerful verse, isn't it? Our sins have hid God's face from us because our sins separate us from God. They make a separation between us and God. But praise God for Isaiah 38:17, which says, "But thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption, for thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back." And listen, dear friends, this morning, this afternoon, if you're a child of God, if you're a child of God, we can be sure that God will never turn his back toward you or toward me. And if our sins have been put behind his back, and God will never turn his back toward us, then we can be sure that our sins are under the blood of Christ. As I pondered this, I thought about Matthew chapter 27, verse 46. It speaks of Calvary. It speaks of the fact that the Heavenly Father turned his back on his Son. Why did he do that? Because our sins were on his Son. He turned his back on his Son so that he would never have to turn his back on you and on me. What a precious thing that is. Our sins will not ever again separate us from the Lord. And then number three, when God forgives, our sins are forever covered with an impenetrable covering to be seen no more. To be seen no more. One man has wisely said this: our sins, they are not covered with the transparent robe of baptismal waters, because Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." They are not covered with the filthy garments of self-righteousness, because Titus 3, 5 says, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost." And they're not covered with the flimsy fence of broken resolutions, because Romans 7, 18 and 19, we read in those verses, "For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil that I would not, that I do." We can make all the resolutions we want to, but that doesn't cover our sins, good intentions. The Apostle Paul certainly reveals that to us. And then certainly we are thankful that our sins are not covered with the worthless works of the flesh, because Romans 3:20 says, "Therefore by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, but with the precious blood of Christ." Because Psalm 32 verse 1 says, "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered." Put out of sight. 1 Peter 1:19 says, "For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." I love the words of that old hymn, and I'm sure you're familiar with it here as well. "There is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains." What a great hymn that is. You sing that hymn here sometimes. Is that a familiar hymn? The words of that give those wonderful Bible truths. And then, number four, when God forgives, our sins are forever removed into the furthermost realm of the infinite. Our sins are forever removed into the furthermost realm of the infinite to face us no more. To face us no more. In other words, God will never throw it up in your face. God will never bring it up. Oh, I wish us human beings would be more like that. We are so prone to remind our mates or our children or our parents or our friends or our fellow believers of what they used to be, what they used to do, and bringing up their past. You know, we should be very, very cautious of that, because we violate, if we want to reflect the character of Christ, we violate and we certainly deny those basic principles about God's forgiveness. And then we see that God's word teaches us so clearly these matters about our sins never facing us again. I think one of the most important passages on that particular aspect is Psalm 103, verse 12, where we read these words: "So far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us." We've all figured that out, haven't we? We've all figured it out. Why didn't God say "from as far as the north is from the south"? Well, because those are fixed points. Yet you can go from east to west and keep on going, for as fast as the east advances, the west recedes, the west and the east will never meet. And so it's God's way once more of saying how he has blotted out our sins, and our sins will never face us again. Number five, when God forgives, our sins are forever blotted out into absolute annihilation and extinction. To exist no more. In Isaiah 44, 22 and 23, we read these words. I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions, and as a cloud thy sins. Sing, O ye heavens, for the Lord hath done it. Sing, O ye heavens, for the Lord hath done it. You know, dear friends, I don't know what you may be going through in your life today, what struggles you may have, and what there may be that may be perhaps distracting you as in your Christian walk and are distracting you even from what's being preached here or said. But I want you to realize something, that just the simple fact that your sins are forgiven should put a song in your heart and praise unto our God. Knowing that those sins will never be brought up, we will never face them. They are blotted out. They are annihilated. They're out of existence. And God will never bring them up again. My mind went earlier on today to Psalm 40, verse 1 to 3. He says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me, and he heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay. He set my feet upon a rock, and he established my going. And he hath put a what? A new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. So is there a song in your heart? Well, just remember, Paul says, forgetting those things which are behind. And these are all the reasons that God gives us in his word. And then number six, when God forgives, our sins are forever drowned in the deepest depths of the sea, where no diver descends and where no instrument can sound, to be detected no more, never again. We read in Micah chapter 7, verse 19, thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. What a precious thing that is. And then number seven, when God forgives, our sins are forever forgiven and forgotten, to be remembered no more. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 16 and 17, God said to his people then, and he says to us likewise today, this is the covenant that I will make with them, saith the Lord. Their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. Therefore, the Apostle Paul says in our text, this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. So we can say, dear friends, yes, with total confidence in the Word of God, not in my feelings, not in my emotions, but in total confidence in the Word of God, because God has said it to us repeatedly in so many different ways. Our past is irreversible. So forget it. On the basis of these principles in the Word of God. Heavenly Father, today we thank you for these simple thoughts. Lord, we need to hear these things repeatedly in our Christian walk, because the devil would use our failures and our past and our sins to defeat us, to discourage us, to keep us from moving on, serving you, doing whatever we can to honor you with our lives. Oh, dear God, as we mentioned this morning, help us not to fall backward, but to fall forward, forgetting those things which are behind and pressing on, Lord, to those things which are before. Oh, dear God, today help us to understand that if we cannot trust you for that complete forgiveness of our past, then, Lord, we will never really fully commit to you for the future. And we will never really fulfill your purpose and plan for our lives in the days ahead if we cannot live in the joy and bask in the sunshine of that complete forgiveness because of Calvary's love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.